Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello everyone, it is the Instant Match Reaction Show. It was Man City 1, it was Liverpool 1 at the Etihad. I'm Paul Machin, I'm joined by Ross Chandley for this one. Some big talking points to get through in the game, of course. Liverpool taking away a point, probably the happier maybe of the two, maybe that's up to you to decide that, but we'll definitely talk through some of the things, including the penalty incident that nearly gave Manchester City the lead if it wasn't for Kevin De Bruyne absolutely screwing it wide. Liverpool lost the possession battle but won the shots and shots on target and corners battle, if there is such a thing, as well, and also won the fouls battle. Is that a battle? It's fine. We're going to talk through all those things in a moment, but first we are brought to you in association with our wonderful partner CyberGhost. Here's a little from Chris on them. This video is supported by CyberGhost VPN, my favourite VPN, the one I trust with hiding my IP address, encrypting my internet connection and turning me into a ghost while I'm online. CyberGhost gets it. They love sports, we love sports, you love sports, and we need to keep ourselves secure when we are watching our favourite things online. So if you prefer to watch your favourite TV via a Fire Stick, you can now enjoy all of your favourite channels and sporting matches in one place securely with CyberGhost VPN. And they have a track record of keeping no logs, and over 36 million people worldwide trust them with their digital privacy. Their extensive network includes thousands of servers located in 90 countries. You're spoiled for choice, and Redmen TV viewers will get 79% off. 79% by going to cyberghostvpn.com/RedmenTV. The link is in the video description as well. Hide yourself online, unblock websites, and most of all, stay safe. Fantastic stuff, and thank you so much to CyberGhost VPN there. Just to point out that with that incredible discount that you guys get through that link, it makes it just £2.15 per month, which is absolutely nothing, not just to provide yourself security, but also opens up a wealth of options for you for video viewing on the World Wide Web. Ross, Liverpool, Man City, 1-1. We had a comment that came in while we were kicking things off from Sam Hammond. He said, Man City were there for the taking. I don't know. We could have won that game, certainly. I think all told, I think given the balance, I think given the penalty, missed penalty as well, you know, the game could easily have gone either way. So all told, I'm kind of okay with the point.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I think I agree with that comment to an extent, but I think what we spoke about during the game was the fact that Man City set up completely different to what I've seen before. And there for the taking, I understand, because they were so defensive. But they're defensive for a reason. That's the way that Liverpool set up, the way that Liverpool approached the game. I think Man City were wary, possibly scary, of how Liverpool set up, and just thought, you know, we can't be expansive, it can't be open. In that sense, Liverpool probably could have done a bit more doing that, but in doing so, you're opening yourself up to a counter-attack. And that's exactly what Manchester City did. They had limited chances, yeah, limited options, but when they did have them, it was win the ball back, go.
Klopp was keen to point out in his post-match interview actually how that's like the least opportunities Man City have had against us. Now, some of that is actually Man City. That's a bit what they've been like so far this season. They have been a bit more blunder, a bit more robust defensively, but not necessarily the attacking threat that they were. But who cares? Like he's saying, look, we've beaten Liverpool more we've beaten City more comprehensively than this before, but they've created more opportunities against us, which is throwing it into the lap of the gods. And he also said, and it's telling that he talked about the way they were set up, because again, Pep Guardiola was keen to stress Liverpool had four up front. Klopp was keen to stress that he asked the two wide men to basically drop in and do defensive duties. And he said it's telling that there was a period that we referenced in the game where we just kind of lost our shape a little bit. And that was the spell in which the goal came and the penalty came from as well. But he only said it's like 10 minutes and then we got recovered ourselves. And look, it really, when you look at it on the balance of it, City didn't do too much. A lot of our anxiety comes from the fact that it's Man City and they can.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
No, I think the way they did get chances was in that first half. I think they had a period of maybe 20, 25 minutes. I think De Bruyne, well, it leads to their goal. De Bruyne is picking up spaces in front of our front line, but across. So, it's hard to mark. You can't man mark him. You know, he's in behind Gini, he's in behind Hendo. And we gave him too much space twice, so in quick succession as well. That's where they got most of their joy. But besides that, I think Liverpool were equally wary of what Manchester City can do. And you have to be, because they're a very good side. They're very well organised. They like to go and get forward. OK, they didn't have Riyad Mahrez or Aguero in there, but they still have threats. You know, and particularly, you know, as long as Kevin De Bruyne's on that pitch, you have to do your best. I mean, you can't always do that. I think you said it, to nullify him as much as you can. It's impossible to do it for 90 minutes.
Well, there's him as well. There's him, definitely. He's one of the best players in the world. Yeah. He's probably the best midfielder in the Premier League. I'm sure Thiago will have something to say about that coming throughout the course of the season, of course. But I think it's telling. Like Raheem Sterling, we talked about him. We handled him really well. Like, he tore us apart in this game in restart. And I think the whole thing, kind of, that restart game, I think, totally informs how this game goes. Because, yes, Liverpool technically had more bodies on the pitch, but they also set up far more securely. Again, there was four men in midfield for lots of that game. For the and it was more than a line, you know, in again, 4-4-2-ish than the more compact three that maybe we do sometimes. But it was... neither team, I think both teams went for it in their own ways, but both teams showed a lot of respect because also both teams knew that they couldn't afford. City are not soft, Guardiola's not soft. He's not, as much as the press were keen to hype up City's win at the end of last season and what a message it sent to the rest of it, it did not. It was a game, and you mentioned it, Liverpool were still pissed when they played that game last time, having just won the league. But they're both aware of, because Klopp's seen it with Aston Villa, and Man City have seen it in a couple of the struggles they've had in games this season. If either side runs away with that match at this point of the season, it sends a big message to the league. It says that Liverpool are vulnerable. It says that Liverpool are not necessarily leaders, and it also says Man City are the same team as last season if they get trounced. And I think that was evident. And some of it was handled in our respect. Like John Matip, I thought, had a good game. I thought Trent was having a good game up until his injury as well. Gomez was having a pretty good game. Andy Robertson was great. So we handled them, but also I don't think either team through everything at the game.
No, and I don't think you can. You know, we've already discussed the threats of Manchester City, but you don't want to embarrass yourself, which I think is kind of what you're getting at. I think we have to remember that Trent is a defender, and I think there'll be some frustration with some fans at the fact that he didn't get forward as much or he didn't provide as much. But first and foremost, he's a defender. That's one of the things that he gets criticised for. I'm right, first 10, 15 minutes, Man City looked to get Raheem Sterling on the ball and drive at Trent, and I thought he dealt with that very well. I think you have the communication and the support of Matip coming back in, which we discussed on the build-up and during the game. The fact that I thought he was excellent, the fact that he didn't play midweek, you know, be it 10, 15 minutes, relatively rusty. Okay, one or two wayward passes. I think he ended up, you know, passes to Guardiola at one point in the game. But, you know, the fact that you still got to pump your chest out in these games, haven't you? And, you know, not do anything stupid, not concede anything. And for a game that was, you know, it says it, the amount of shots at Manchester City had, we reduced them to nothing. Mm-hmm. But it was still an intense and entertaining game, mm-hmm, somehow. You know, most entertaining 1-1 that I think I might have seen in my lifetime.
I think it's, again, we always talk about recency bias, and you kind of remember the stuff that happened most recently in the football matches, what that means. And I think it's interesting that Liverpool dominate, like, the sofa scores do this great thing where it's like the attacking threat or whatever ongoing throughout the match, like attacking momentum, and Liverpool largely dominated. City have their spells, of course they do, because they're a brilliant side, but it was building. When you look at it in the second half, and we remember I think a lot of people talked about the second half and did this in the match reactions, like it was a bit of a negative performance. We were actually doing well. We started the second half really brightly again, and it was another one we said we could just do with scoring here, just to kind of put a marker on things or put an exclamation point in what we're doing. But the substitution didn't work. Taking Bobby off didn't make us better. And then losing Trent Alexander-Arnold. So we ended up with a completely new right-hand side. And I think that hampered us. And I think they reached the point there. Because there's when you're playing on the counter, and they didn't leave lots of spaces in behind for us to exploit on the counter, which you mentioned there was very sensible. But there was a couple of chances where we do break, and it breaks to Milner. And Mane's making a run, and Milner knows he can't play that ball, so he doesn't. Whereas Trent might not make the ball, but he knows he can, so he does try them. And look, these are small fractional percentages. These need to be perfect balls passed, but Trent has that capability, and it stopped us having that in our harmony.
And that's the difference when you play in a Manchester City, because they are so good. Everything has to be 100%. I think you mentioned it in commentary. You have to be brave in what Liverpool do, especially when you're on the front foot and you're going forward. Everything against a team on City has to be 100%. Now, if Milner makes that pass that you're talking about and he loses it, you're going, oh, fucking hell, what are you doing that for? But, you know, it's equally fine to retain the possession. Okay, you lose momentum in your attack and, you know, Man City are able to get bodies back in which they did. But I'll just go back to it, the fact that of all the times we played Manchester City, they've never played like that against us. And the fact that, you know, maybe it's respect or concern of just nullifying Liverpool to do what we do. But the onus might have been on them to kind of win that game. Maybe they're happy with the point.
Yeah, I think they are. Yeah, I don't think they will be. I think they'll be happy that look both.
But they won't because they missed the penalty.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Look, the game was theirs to be taken because of that. But they'll be made up. They've not gotten battered the same way, and not that it was on, by the way, by both teams are just made up.
But if they commit those bodies forward. Those, you know, particularly with the front four that we had on, those opportunities.
This is a new evolution of Man City, and I've seen some City fans commenting in the build-up show about that, about like their attacks not clicking, but the defence is loads better, and you got that sense, you know, they defended a bit better. And yet, you know, again, look at the opening of that game, we carved through them. Yeah. They really couldn't live with us in that opening spell, and again, the point is, and it's been made in the comments here, we've got to take them chances. We get an early goal from the penalty, so we do, you know, and you've got that, that's cool. But we really could have done with just, it needed one more moment to be capitalised upon. And there's a couple of times where we got the right men in the box, we overloaded them, we engineered these situations brilliantly. And that's the best first half I've seen in us, not in 4-3-3 in quite a very long time. The one where it falls to Trent, and it shouldn't have to be worked to Trent, because someone prior in that move should just be able to get a shot off. But Trent gets a shot off, and it bounces off Ederson, it goes under his legs, and he's able to just get a hand on it before Jota gets in there. On another day, you know, those kind of things go for you, but they don't. And you said it right, against Manchester City, you need those moments of perfection. Think about the Fabinho goal last season. That's like a bolt from the blue. I know he then does it against Crystal Palace, but they're a rarity. Oxlade-Chamberlain has a couple of really good goals against them, but goals from outside the box are not to be relied upon. They are very fractional chances when it comes to things, so you need big people to take the big opportunities. And City actually had, in some regards, they had a little bit of luck with the Gabriel Jesus one. Then they had a load of bad luck because Kevin De Bruyne are missing from the spot. Who's counting on that? I think on the balance of it, yeah, I think we were the better side, but, you know, so I think they will probably be happy that we've not capitalised more on that, but they'll also probably be disappointed because for the final 10 minutes, the onus was all on City to go and win the game, and they didn't really get anywhere near us when they were trying to do it.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome. Like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
No, I think one of the words you mentioned there was luck was a huge part of that, and particularly for Liverpool. You know, we can talk about, you know, being 100% and, you know, picking that key pass or whatever else, and, you know, it's difficult when Man City have got loads of bodies in the box, but also there's new opportunities for Liverpool. You mentioned one there with Trent where it just bobbled the wrong way, or the second ball didn't fall to Liverpool, and, you know, there was a free kick, and, you know, wasn't on the referee, but I think there was one or two moments where the referee wasn't 100% in that game, and I was getting a bit frustrated. You need those moments to go for in the games, and kind of that can change things or change the dimension, and you get a quick pass away, whatever else, but everything just seemed to just go against us in that sense, or, you know, the quality wasn't there. And then towards the end, like you said, Man City going for it, I think tiredness played a key for both sides in that game, because I just started writing my player ratings there, and I said it was a slog, but a slog is in two heavyweights just like going punch for punch, and at the end just both spunked all the chances, all their energy, and go, fucking hell, like, I've got nothing left in us.
Well, that was it. The way we were set up kind of gave us no other gear to go to, unfortunately, because of the system. We'd have had to change the system, I think, to get more, and I think we just weren't able to do that. And I think maybe this is Keita's fitness or a lack of trust for Keita, because Keita would have been a nailed-on player for this game last season, because we've been grooming him for these transformative performances in midfield. But equally, no Fabinho makes the big difference to us in this, and I think that's one of the things why we go with the formation we go with, because I've seen people say Jota should have come off the bench, it would have suited him. I completely agree. This game was much more
can't win.
No, but 100%. But the point, I agree, because bringing Shaq on is worse than Bobby Firmino. He doesn't play in the same position, but he's a bits and pieces player, and I think he would probably have suited him and Jota sub again, like we saw against Sheffield United. I think it changes that, gives us more drive and impetus. But and that's to have that is mainly dependent on having Jota coming off the bench. I actually would have liked to see that, but the reason we've done that is because we're light in midfield. Because if Fabinho's available, I think we play 4-3-3 and we do use Jota off the bench, or we do, you know, I think we do, and that's a much more sensible all-round approach to this game. But both sides went for it in the first half. City had nothing really on the bench. You know, they had Foden, and they decided not to bring him on in the end. Didn't have Mahrez on the bench. You know, Aguero's not fit. Sané doesn't play for them anymore. And Torres is just getting up to speed. They had their best forwards on the pitch, and we had our best forwards on the pitch. And when that ran out, it meant that there was nothing more to add to the game. So we can say we could do it a different way, but for some reason we didn't want Naby Keita in that game. And we didn't want, and it was too much for Curtis Jones. We just played 90 odd minutes in the midweek, which is a factor in that regard. And we didn't want Milner in midfield for this game. And it almost worked, because we could have, in the two spells at the start of either half, we could have won that game. But for fine margins. We've got some super chats that have come in while we've been doing this. Joel George says, don't bash me, but I'm losing trust in Firmino. Joel, whatever, mate. I mean, look, I'm sorry that's the case. I can't. Firmino's all right. He's been a world-class player for us. He's not in world-class form at the moment, but he's still a world-class player, because a couple of eight games into a season does not define a person's career, unfortunately.
The huge difference in that, sorry, is the fact that there's someone else in a conversation now that Firmino's here, and you're looking at the shiny thing that they're over there in Jota.
Definitely. And again, I just... We were worse without when Firmino went off the pitch, which is a note of encouragement for Firmino anyway. Leon Geary thought Matip was brilliant. Good point. Yeah, I thought Matip was really good coming back into the big trick now is just to keep him wrapped up over the international break. We've got Leicester when we come back from that, and obviously the Champions League comes back as well. This is the thing, I saw someone in the comments as well saying you could see we missed Van Dijk. I couldn't see that. I didn't see that from our performance. I mean, you can in some, what you miss from Virgil van Dijk is that he plays the ball like a cultured midfielder. So it's the big game-changing shifts when he just bangs one into the corner perfectly to one of our players. We've missed that, and any football team would miss that. But we've not missed him today, because look, Gomez is really good and Matip's really good, and they had a really good game collectively. I think largely. We've got one more super chat if I can just find it. Josh Hunter, if someone said to me before the game, one more draw at the Etihad without Van Dijk, and you'd also be 5 points ahead of them having played City away, I'd have taken it. Yeah, and that's the point. Look, they've got their game in hand to play, so it would have been nice to put a bit more distance. But I don't think this season's going to be wrapped up in December like it was last year.
Yeah.
But I do think it will be I don't think the season will go to the last game either. I think the league will be decided in probably March, late March, and all the big teams who've played loads and loads of footy, if they survive, what have they got left in the tank and all that kind of stuff. And then you get a world where players' heads start to look towards the Euros in the summer and whether they're available for that and all these kind of factors.
If they're even on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, there's lots and lots of things that will come, but at the moment, the big thing about it is making sure all we've done is maintain that gap to Man City, because I do think it will be between us and City come the end of the season. Leicester will probably make a better fist of it this year because they've had a year to learn on their mistakes. They've got the same good players and they've added other good players and Rodgers more experience. I think Leicester will be a force. I think Spurs will be a force because Mourinho's a good manager, provided they keep Kane and Son fit. They should be they'll be good as well. The rest of the pack are a bit Chelsea, United, Arsenal. Less so now Everton, because
spunk too early, didn't
they? Yeah, maybe. I just think it's between us and City, and again, you can't know this now, but you know, I've said this on a couple of places now, if we go and get 3 points against them at Anfield, that's a 3 point gap between us on that could be enough on itself. The gap might actually be more than that by the time we get to that game.
Yeah, and it's also a good result on reflection of the teams that we've already played so far this season. You know, we eight games in, we played Leeds, Chelsea, Arsenal, Manchester City. You know, it's pretty good going.
Villa, who, if they won their two games in hand, would be top of the league now as well.
But everything's been skewed by that. I think I saw loads of people last week talking about the goals conceded and whatever else. There was one freak game which has just been exacerbated by what Liverpool have gone through over the past few weeks. I think we find ourselves in a good position. There was loads of talk before the season started. It might be, you know, 60, 70, nearer 80 points to kind of win a league this season. Well, if it's 80 points and one of those is away at Manchester City, given any normal season, you're saying that's a really good point away. It's just, obviously, tomorrow will be better on reflection once you've had some time to kind of take it in. But I think it's a good point.
This is the biggest game in footy at the moment.
Yeah,
like it's the most difficult game. It's that, you know, it's now got such a heated sort of thing going around it, and we also know now that those games almost exclusively decide where the league title goes. I mean, think back to us losing out by a point. It's millimeters in that game of a ball crossing the line.
Yeah,
is the difference. If that crosses the line, we win the league. I mean,
yeah,
butterfly effect notwithstanding.
That's the interesting thing I said it in comments. Some Manchester City fans said that they didn't win the league because Laporte was injured. But Liverpool can go, you know, strength to strength without their centre half and get a point away at Manchester City.
Yeah.
Again, it's a good result.
Yeah, absolutely. And the good thing is that not only did Liverpool maintain the gap over Manchester City, we joined second in the Premier League after a ridiculously intensive start to the campaign. We've played out tough. It's worth remembering because Sky forgets to fucking throw this in because they haven't got the Champions League rights, so they don't talk about the Champions League in the same way anymore. But we're top of our Champions League group. And we're second in the Premier League, albeit with goal difference in third. Sound. Yeah. The season is going well. When you factor in all the bits that we've had to struggle through as well so far, provided Trent isn't out for a long time, because that would be a real blow to how we play. If you can get Fabinho back, if we can get Thiago back, and we get Trent back in the coming weeks, all of a sudden it's Virgil and Ox who are the ones who are missing. And we're in a stronger position as well, I think, to be. Yeah, I think when people go back and watch the game and they see how well we played, all told, I think Man City will be more concerned that game, because I think they will probably feel like, if you know, on another day we actually could have.
Yeah,
we could have beaten them more conclusively. Right, there's still loads of talking points from this game. Of course, we didn't have time to talk about the Joe Gomez handball penalty instance. Obviously, it's not as pivotal as it could have been, but it's a massive talking point. Gomez covered it really well. We'll discuss that on the Final Word Show on Monday. If there's any other topics that we haven't discussed that you want us to discuss on that show from the game, let me know in the comments, and I'll pick up on them. We do 60 minutes. It is available to YouTube members at club captain and club legend level, and it's also available to people who subscribe to the Red Men TV ITV.com, in addition to the massive back catalogue of interviews with Liverpool players past and present, documentaries and weekly produced content as well. So do go and sign up for all that stuff. Yes, do go and check out Cyberghost, of course. The link will be in the description underneath, and it'll be the pinned comment as well later on after the video is wrapped up. But other than that, yes, amazing. Yeah, we love to see you guys. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope everyone has had a wonderful weekend, and know that, like, in a weekend where Man United won, and all we know is that it just means that Ole get to stay at the helm even longer and be shit for them. What a good old weekend it was. It could have been better, but it could have been a much, much worse weekend. So yeah, we'll take that as we go into the international break. We've got you covered. Make sure you sign up to all the things we've discussed and keep you entertained in this break, and we'll be back very, very soon. Ta-ra.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.